Okay, I'll be also working along the same line. My name is Faisal Al-Kak. I come from the American University of Beirut. I'm a senior lecturer at the Faculty of Health Sciences. I'm also a clinical associate at the Department of Gynecology Obstetrics in the Faculty of Medicine in the same university. I have also no relationships to disclose. The objective of our work is to describe non-consensual sexual practices among youth and also to differentiate how these practices differ between men and women, also discuss restrictive sociocultural norms, implications on sexual health, sexuality, and bodily autonomy, and discuss sexual abuse within the context of gender inequality. This comes really from a regional and a global background on research showing that sexual coercion and gendered violence have been on the rise among youth. Sexual abuse, as you all know, and my colleagues discussed, associated with a number of mental and physical outcomes on health, including sexual and reproductive health. Females and youth are the most vulnerable to sexual violence, apparently, and also they are the least to report this to the authorities. This is partly because the heteronormative discourse have allowed for men's limited accountability for sexual abuse conduct and have impacted young people's description and interpretation of that violence because males have found their way to escape the accountability on that. This is more even obvious in the context of the Arab region where this study is conducted in Lebanon. Where youth in the Arab region are prone to violations of their bodily autonomy as manifested by reports of gender-based sexual discrimination and violence. Although the data is limited, but we know that the gender-based violence is widespread, acceptance of violence, whether the intimate partner violence or the spousal violence, is high, and most victims, unfortunately, don't seek assistance because they're afraid, because they have no access to this, and there is no, like, serious authorities considering their complaints. In Lebanon, for example, the Article 522 of the Lebanese Penal Code will exonerate the rapist from their crime if they marry their victim. And this law, unfortunately, demonstrates the permissiveness and belittling of rape as a crime, transforming justice into a matter of shame. So our study aims to investigate non-consensual sexual practices and sexual abuse among university students aged 18 to 30 attending the fourth largest private university in Beirut and exploring possible gender differences. The data is generated from, again, a huge cross-sectional online Lyme survey on sexual practices, perceptions, and attitudes conducted between April and August of 2012. The eligible participants amount to 7,470. The response rate was around 29.2%, which is above the average range for online surveys without offering any incentive. The questionnaire was developed in English, pre-tested for content and language, and pilot-tested among a sample of fresh graduates from the program of Masters in Public Health. It was also translated to Arabic and back to English because the official language of the university is English. The questionnaire covered five main sections. The first section is on demographics, including questions on cohabitation, temporary and or polygamy, general intimate and or sexual behaviors, detailed behavioral questions, perceptions and attitudes. And this is, by the way, the first study in the Middle East region. It's, the whole project is a youth reproductive sexual health project. It's a 5-year project funded by Ford Foundation. Our results show that 15% of the surveyed young people admitted to ever being sexually abused. The questions run like, someone did something to you sexually which you don't want them to do, or touched you in a way that you didn't want them to be touched. I don't want to be touched this way. Sexual abuse was 3 times higher in females as compared to males, and that was significant. The sexually abused students were 3 times more likely to experience an unplanned, unwanted pregnancy in a context where abortion is illegal, and that was ended in termination of pregnancy, secretly, of course, in 93% of the cases. Other responses also were more prevalent in females than in males, and they run like 21% of females said or talk about responded about unwillingness at sexual debut. 35% of females, as compared to 27% of males, said they ever been in a relationship where they felt things were moving too fast physically. Also, 22% of females, compared to 15% of males, had ever done anything sexual they did not really want to do. As for the level of worry about experiencing sexual violence in the future, in the sample where people reported no history of sexual abuse, the level of being not worried at all or not too worried were similar. However, if you look at the those females with a history of sexual abuse, they had 7 times more likely to be very worried about experiencing sexual violence in the future as compared to those, as you can notice here, that said they did not, they're not really worried because they had no history of sexual abuse. And that was significant. As for the persons with whom they can communicate, males, significantly, 29% reported communicating with a father or a male guardian, and that's good with your discussions. However, not significant or comparable numbers between males and females said they would report with a mother or a female guardian. The vast majority will communicate with a close friend as compared to a family member, and up to 66% of females will communicate with a partner. Also, 45% of males will do that, and that reflects probably on the either shame or the taboo of the subject, preventing those young people from communicating with their parents, or the majority of them. Conclusions and implications. The findings call for gender-sensitive interventions addressing sexual abuse and violence, while promoting open parental communication, bodily autonomy, and self-determination. And you have to remember, we're talking in a context where sexuality is still tabooed, and there is a lot of restrictive sociocultural aspects to sexuality. More research is needed, whether in Lebanon or in the Arab region, to understand more aspects of sexual abuse and violence, physical and non-physical, and to explore how it is maintained and normalized within the sociocultural context. And that's important, because there is an accumulated heritage of people accepting violence, whether external violence or intimate partner violence. Comprehensive laws and policies that protect youth from sexual violence, from sexual abuse, and decriminalizes both physical and verbal sexual harassment should be developed. These are our references, and also I would like to thank my colleagues, Dr. Gandour and Ms. Yasmin, and also Ms. Salibi, for being part of the team. Thank you very much.